Okay, good morning everyone. Once again, I'd like to welcome everyone and thank everyone for coming to learn in our Sunday morning shiur. The topic of today's shiur is something which is very vast and therefore can't really cover all the details of it in one sitting. However, I'd like to try to at least get the basic guidelines down. I think that would be very, very helpful if we can get a working knowledge of the guidelines that pertain to this topic. The connection to the parasha, the Torah begins by Yaakov Moshe, that Moshe gathered together all the Jewish people, and the Chazal tell us in the Medrash, Amar Rav Oseinu, is not on the sheet, Amar Rav Oseinu, that the Chazal say, Mitchilas HaTorah V'ad Sofa, that throughout the entire Chumash, Ein Bo Parsha Shenemar Barosha V'yakel El Ezos Vovad. There is no parsha in the Torah that begins with the word V'yakel, that Moshe gathered everyone together, except for this one. Now if you recall from yesterday, at the very beginning of the parsha, the Torah begins speaking about Shabbos. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Aseh L'cha Kehilos Kedolos, make great assemblages, Udrosh Lufneim Barabim Hilchas Shabbos, and thoroughly learn and investigate the laws of Shabbos, Kedei Sheyilmedu Mimcha Doros Habon, in order that this should be something that is Hashem said to Moshe, you should gather together a large crowd in order that future generations should do the same thing. In other words, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there are many halachas, and it's very, very vast. And therefore, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to set an example here, that there's an inyan that we should call together a large assemblage so that people should know for all the generations that when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, we have to have a large gathering, meaning that it's important that people should get together to learn all halachas, but in particular, when it comes to the Hilchos Shabbos, it is the most crucial. Because of the fact that there are so many halachas and it covers such a broad spectrum of areas, and it's very, very important for people to get these halachas straight. So that is the connection here. That is when we come to Parshas Vayakel, the Torah pretty much instructs us that we have to have some sort of shir in the Hilchos Shabbos. The topic today is the medical response that can take place on Shabbos in different situations, and the idea, which is well known to all of us, is that when we talk about a sick person, so we know that Shabbos often, very often, does not stand in the way. That the Lamentes Melachos, that the 39 prohibited acts, do not, in many cases, stand in the way of a sick person on Shabbos. What I would like to speak about are the various categories of cholim, because this rule. That we could be Mechal Shabbos for Chola depends on the type of illness that the person has, the type of situation that the person has. And essentially there are four categories of Cholim, and I would just like to give an overview of these categories so that at least the person could have, as I said, a working understanding of the Halacha, and then in certain situations if a specific question comes up, one could ask it. As we will see, there are situations where you don't ask any shaylos and you just ask. The first category, the most severe category of a sick person on Shabbos is the category of a chola sheyesh bo sakana, a person who is ill to the degree that his life is in jeopardy. And this is where we all know that one is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in such a situation. It's common that a person is taken to the hospital, if need be, on Shabbos, so that a doctor can do all kinds of malachas, whatever it may be, on behalf of that person. the source of this halacha, the Gemara Maseches Yuma cites several psukim that would point in this direction. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but there was one actually that was found in last week's parasha, in Parashas Kisis. I thought originally of speaking about this topic last week, but the Gemara here, this is the first source on the sheet. The Gemara brings this two lines before it gets wide. The Gemara quotes the pasuk of Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, "V'shamru b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos," that the Torah says that the Jewish people should keep Shabbos, that they should observe Shabbos. Amra Torah, chalel olav Shabbos achas, kidei sheyishmar Shabbosos harveh. That the Torah is telling us, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos, that the Jewish people should keep Shabbos. La'akos es haShabbos l'dorosam, in order that Shabbos should be for all the generations. In other words, that Shabbos should be observed in order that it should be not just for this generation, but for all the generations. So the Gemara interprets the pasuk to be saying that in order that B'shamru B'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, that in order to make sure that other Shabbosos are kept, one should keep Shabbos. In other words, that's what the pasuk seems to be saying. We should keep Shabbos. Lasos es haShabbos l'dorosam, in order that Shabbos should be for all the generations. So the Gemara says, so one could infer from this that what would be in a situation where if one kept the Shabbos, it would mean that this person, a person, will not be able to keep any other Shabbosos. For example, if a person is sick, if you're going to keep this Shabbos, if you're going to say that we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos, he's not going to have any more Shabbos, he's going to die. So the Chazal say that Mutav Shemichal Shabbos Achas, that it is better, that Halel Olav Shabbos Achas, that it is preferable to desecrate one Shabbos in order, Kidei Sheyishmar Shabbosos Harveh, in order that many Shabbosos should be observed. And this is I think a Maimer Chazal that's somewhat well known. The idea that for this person, if we'll violate this Shabbos, he'll be able to keep all the rest of them. This is what the Gemara is telling us. Then the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ihavai Hasam, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that if I would have been there, Hava Amina, he said, I would have told you a better reason. I would have told you something better. That we have the famous pasuk that the Torah tells us concerning all the mitzvahs. Concerning all the mitzvahs, the Torah says, Asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai bohem, that a person should do all the mitzvahs v'chai bohem, and he should live by doing the mitzvahs, that he should do the mitzvahs in such a way, that he will live by doing the mitzvahs. So the Chazal made the diuk, the inference from the pasuk, that v'chaybahem v'lo sheyamus behem, that the person should live and the person should not die. And therefore, this is a klal that we have by all mitzvahs, with the exception of the three cardinal sins, but by all mitzvahs we have a rule that v'chaybahem, that a person is supposed to live by doing the mitzvahs and not die by doing the mitzvahs. And therefore, if observing a mitzvah is going to cause a person to die, so he doesn't have to observe that mitzvah. For example, if a person needed to eat non-kosher food in order to live, so he would have to eat the non-kosher food, because the Torah is instructing us that you should live by the mitzvahs. And in this case, if he kept it, if he observed that mitzvah, he wouldn't live. And so it is with all the mitzvahs that we have, except for the three, which are Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim. We know the three cardinal sins, which are the idolatry and acts of immorality and murder. Those three are, the Gemara tells us in various places, the Gemara tells us mainly in Masechet Sanhedrin, that in those three cases we derive from Sukkim that those three a person has to give up his life for. Those three cannot be violated. The mitzvah of Achai Bahem does not apply by those three. However, by anything else, a person isn't, we are instructed in the Torah to live by the mitzvahs, Therefore, if it meant eating on Yom Kippur, or if it meant eating chametz on Pesach, or anything like that, a person would have to do those acts rather than to die by observing the mitzvahs. This is what Shmuel said. So, thus we have two sources for the pasuk, for this limud. In fact, the Gemara earlier cited one or two others, but I don't want to go into it. But the Gemara, if we skip down a number of lines, so the two lines before the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us that actually this drasha of v'chai bahem has a milah, has an advantage over all the others, because the Gemara says the ashkechan vadai. The Gemara says that this that we could understand that this din would be true in a case where a person is definitely going to die, but suffik minolan. But what about a situation where it's only a question if the person is going to die? It's not clear. It could be he will, it could be he won't. Says the Gemara, if we skip a little bit, the Gemara says that based on Shmuel, the Gemara says that the Shmuel Vada Isle, that based on that based on various factors, the Gemara says that from the other psukim we would not know this halacha that it applies even on a suffix. However, based on Shmuel, based on the pasuk of v'chai bahem, so Rashi explains that the Torah is saying, if you look at the Rashi, the second Rashi before the Mishnah, asher yaseh ha'adam ha'mitzvos sheyichya behem vadai, that what the Torah is telling us is that you have to do the mitzvahs in such a way that you will definitely live. In other words, the emphasis on the pasuk is that the mitzvahs are to be observed in a way that you will definitely live. If there is even a question that you will not live, then you don't either have to observe the mitzvahs. In other words, it's not just that a person would be allowed to, let's say, eat chametz on Pesach if he was definitely going to die if he didn't do it, but even if there was a question that he might, maybe he will, maybe he won't, but there's a possibility that he will. So v'chai bohem, the way the pasuk is phrased, asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai bohem, says Rashi that the interpretation of the pasuk is that a person is instructed that you have to do everything you can so that you will definitely live, and therefore if there's a possibility that he will die, says Rashi, v'lo she'yavo ba'asiyasa v'idei safek misa. And therefore, Alma Mechalin al Asafi says Rashi that from the pasuk v'chai bahem we learn out the very basic halacha that one is allowed to be to violate the mitzvahs, and specifically to our topic, is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos even for a suffix, which means that if there is a possibility that a person may die, then you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. You don't have to have a certainty. You know, I know for sure, this guy, there's no question about it. It doesn't have to be that way. Even if it's a suffix pikuach nefesh, one is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. The halacha says even if it's a svek sveka, even in situations where there could be multiple questions whether the person will live or not, nevertheless, we are Mechal Shabbos for such a thing. So this is the first basic idea that we have to know, that when it comes to a life-threatening situation, you could be Mechal Shabbos even for a suffix. Another halacha, these halachas are spread all over the Gemara, so it would have been very difficult to bring all the sources, but another halacha which we find in the Gemara Maseches Yuma says that one is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos even for Chaye Shoah, even if it's just going to prolong a person's life. If you have, for example, someone who is terminally ill, and it's taking them to the hospital on Shabbos is only going to extend their life, possibly only for an hour. In other words, they're not going to, the situation is such that, unless some sort of miraculous event takes place, the person is terminally ill, you'll say, well, what's it going to help if I take them to the hospital? It's not going to save, in the end result, it's not going to save their life. That doesn't matter, because you're allowed to do such a thing even for Chaye Shoah. Even if it's just a question of prolonging life, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. And this halacha of saving a chol, a sheyesh po sakana, saving the life, of a person whose life is in jeopardy applies, the Chazal say, not only to a living person, but even to a pregnant woman where the child has not been born yet. So you'll say, well, maybe this doesn't count. This is not considered a person yet. The halacha is that it is considered a person. And therefore, to prevent a woman from miscarrying a child is considered a cholosh yesh po sakana, and because the it could be it's a sakana for the woman also, but you don't have to go that far. Even for the child, in other words, there's a possibility that the child will be lost, so for that one is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in such a situation. The degree to which the Chazal took this seriously is such that we find here, if you turn over the page, we find the Shulchan Aruch tells us, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simen Shin Chav Ches Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that Mishe Yesh Lo Choli Shel Sakana, that if a person has a illness which is a sakana, so mitzvah l'chalo olav es haShabbos. It's a mitzvah to be Mechal Shabbos. It's not the type of thing that a person has to feel bad about. It's not, we say, well, let the next guy do it. Why should I do it? I don't want to be Mechal Shabbos. But the Chazal tell us that no, it's not that way, but rather it's a mitzvah to do it. The Hazor is Harezem Shubach. A person who acts as quickly, expeditiously as possible in such a situation is praiseworthy. In other words, this is something where we tell a person you should do it as quickly as possible. Okay? And then he ends off by saying the Hashoel, a person who starts to ask shailos in that situation, Hareze Shofech Domen. That person could be considered a murderer, meaning that this is not the time to start asking shailos. If you know that you have to do something now, there's no time to waste. You have to take care of it. If you think a person, Rahman Islam, might be having a heart attack, so you say, well, let me just go ask the rabbi. You know, he lives a couple of blocks away, so it'll take me 15 minutes to walk there and 10 minutes to ask him and 15 minutes to walk back. You're not allowed to do such a thing. The Shulchan Aruch says that in such a situation, a person who does that is considered a murderer. Because this is not the time. This is not the time to ask these questions. We have to remember that we're speaking now in a situation which is life-threatening. If it's life-threatening and time is of the essence, which often you have situations like that, this is not the time to ask. If you think it might be life-threatening, you don't have to know for sure, but you think it might be. It might be, so then you could do it also. You could take whatever needs to be done. A doctor, obviously, could do whatever needs to be done. A non-doctor could take a person to the hospital in such a situation, get in, drive the car himself, and even though these involves Chil Shabbos of a Melachat Araisa, nevertheless, this is the type of thing where we are told, you don't ask questions, just do it. Just do it and go. Do not start asking questions. Now, the Mishnah Berurah here explains that this is talking in a situation where the person is asking questions. Obviously, he's afraid to be Mechal Shabbos in this situation because he just doesn't believe the halacha. You know, he's nervous. I need a rabbi to give me chizuk. I need to, you know, the rabbi should tell me, yeah, don't worry about it. Now, it's not always that situation. In other words, sometimes you could have a situation where you may have time. In other words, it's not the type of thing. Very often, you have to go. There's no question. You can't waste a second. But theoretically, in other words, if there was a situation where, you know, it could wait a little bit, and you're not sure what to do, so then it's possible that if there was somebody readily available to speak to, that you could ask that question. But as a general rule, if a person thinks that there is a sakana, then you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, and here we say, Hashoel Hareze Shofichtan. A person who would ask a shayla in that situation is doing a terrible thing. And if you turn back to the first page we have here, the Gemara Menachos tells us a very interesting thing in this situation. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that, this is on the fourth line from the top. The Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Chole She'amdu L'Rogeres Achas. If there was a sick person who was told that if he would eat, let's say, a certain fig, you know, from a tree, that this, the Gemara is talking obviously theoretically, right, that if he was told that if he need, in order for this person to live, he needs to eat one fruit from the tree. Now, somebody, which means that somebody is going to have to go to the tree and pick off the fruit, which in itself is a malacha d'oraisa. That is, to pick a fruit off a tree on Shabbos is a malacha, and therefore that would be a chil Shabbos. Says, but here the chol was told, the doctor, whoever it was, said that this guy, in order to live, needs to have one such fruit. So the case is that this was said in public, and 10 people heard what the doctor said, and each one ran on his own. They didn't coordinate. Everybody inside Eretz Yisrael, which was the right thing. Everyone ran to get the fruit himself, and they went to different places, and each one climbed up to the tree and pulled off a fruit. So it says the Gemara, "V'rotzu asara b'nei adam." 10 people ran. The heviu asara grogros v'bas achas. So the halacha is that they went ahead. And they went ahead and they brought 10 of them. Says the Gemara that they are potter, that these people are all, so it comes out that 9 people did unnecessary work, because he only needed one fruit. But 10 people heard the instruction, and each one went ahead and did it. The halacha is that even if it was bizarre as there, that even a situation where the first guy came back and the second one came a few minutes later, and by the time the second one did it, the first guy already had cured him. In other words, by the time I got my fig off the tree, the first one, someone else had done it and given it to the person. The halacha is that everybody is potter, meaning that there is no need for anybody to bring a carbon for Chil Shabbos B'Shogeg. We know that if a person violates Shabbos unintentionally, one is mechuyev to bring a carbon chatas in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, in this case, nobody would have to do it. Nobody would be chayev to bring such a carbon, because each one did the right thing. So even though you only needed one of them to do it, but because each one was told that this is, each one on his own heard, this is what happens, you have to save this person's life. To save this person's life, we have to go get this fruit. Da'alacha is kulam b'surim. So this is the degree to which it goes with the Chil Shabbos. So therefore, if it should come out a situation where, let's say, something would happen in public, and it would be, let's say, in a shul, it could happen sometimes, somebody collapses or something like that, it's not the time to start holding a meeting and saying, all right, so who's going to do it? Okay, any volunteers? Every person has an obligation to do something about it. If you can, if you can't, but if anybody who has the ability to do something, and if time is of the essence, so then everybody has to try. And even though it'll come out that some of the efforts that were put in were unnecessary, so it doesn't matter. And the same thing applies in the modern day era, where we have the Baruch Hashem, the tremendous institution of Hatzalah that exists in many cities. Recently they started such an initiative here, but you have very often where a call goes out that they need some sort of response, and 5 different people respond and get in their cars and drive to the scene, and the truth is, obviously one person gets there first, everybody else comes later, so the person who came second or third or fifth might feel, chaval, I was mechal Shabbos for no reason, after all I came, there was already somebody else there. The halacha is that that's not called the Yom Mechal Shabbos. That was the right thing to do, and this is important to know, that in a time like this, a person does not start to go ask questions. Now, this applies obviously in situations which are known to be dangerous. A person collapses, a person, there's a question that a person might be having some sort of a heart problem. It would apply also in a case where there's a concern of infection, where there's a possibility that something happened to a person where they could have an infection that could kill them. It may not kill, maybe not immediately, but you have to stave off the infection because it could be dangerous, it could be life-threatening. So again, this would be a situation where a person is, where you could be Machal Shabbos. There are many, many more. I'm not going to attempt, and certainly not in the presence of doctors, going to attempt to go through all the cases, but I certainly don't know most of them. But nevertheless, this is anybody with medical knowledge who know, or even not, if a person thinks that it could be, then you don't ask questions, and a person has to go. The halacha in these situations, in our time, I heard from one of my chaverim, Rabbi David Weinberger, who's a rav in New York, that he said that he heard from Gedolim that this applies also to various situations of sakana, including if you have something which may not be a medical sakana, but it could be a physical sakana. For example, if there is a missing child in a community, that there's all of a sudden, you know, what happened, or you have a person, an older person who might be somewhat impaired, an Alzheimer's patient or something like that, or a person's not well, where the person just is unaccounted for, so that would be considered a sakonis nefashis. So that would be considered a situation where a person is allowed, if need be, people allowed to get in cars and start driving around looking, you know, again, if it's just sometimes a little bit, you have to just determine, you know, in a case like this, is it, you know, maybe the parent didn't look in the whole house yet, you know, but if it is determined, you know, here it's a situation where you might have a few minutes to gather your wits before you know, maybe not, but it, you know, depending on the situation. But if it is so determined that there is an unaccounted for child or an older person or whatever who may be in danger, a person is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for this as well. Okay, when we speak about the halacha of a person going to a hospital, the halacha is that a person is allowed to go to the best hospital. So therefore, even if you pass a hospital on the way to what you hold to be the best one, so, you know, sometimes you can't wait, so you have to go to the closest one. If a person is chalila, you know, having a heart attack, so you can't drive 20 minutes to get to the best place, you have to go to the place that's the closest. But in a situation where there would be an advantage to go to a better place, so then the halacha is, that's part of the sakana. They have better doctors in this place. They have better treatment in this place. So therefore that's part of the sakana also. Now, there is one halacha which comes up, which is discussed here in the Shulchan Aruch. This is on page three, which there is a question in the poskim. Everything that we said until now by a chola sheyesh bo sakana is allowed to be done by a Jew, and like we said, it's not the time to start asking questions. If you think that something is pressing and it has to be taken care of, you can just go. However, the question comes up, what would be the din if you could just as easily do it with a good? In other words, if there was a good, now, if, you know, if there's a concern that somebody is, let's say, Rahman Tan had some sort of heart attack, and you don't go start looking for a Shabbos guy, even that would be mutter, even according to last week's year, that would be mutter to do. However, you don't start looking because you're losing time. But let's say there was a guy right there on the spot, and you needed to call an ambulance, and either you could make the call or he could make the call. So here, there is an interesting machlokas that we find in Sif Yud Beis, Simen Shin Chav Ches, Sif Yud Beis, that the Shulchan Aruch says, Kishen Mechal and Shabbos, Achol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana, so the Mechaber says that if we are Mechal Shabbos for a Chola who his life is in danger, mishtadlim shelo lasos aideinam yehudim uftanim v'nashim. So we are mishtadl not to do it through goyim or children or women, assuming you know that they were not capable of handling it. Ela al yidei Yisrael gedol muvnei das. In other words, there's no issue. The Shulchan Aruch rules that there is no reason to start looking for anybody else to do it. Look for a child, say, I have a kid below the age of bar mitzvah, let him make the phone call, or something like that. Says the Shulchan Aruch that we don't do this. This is the opinion of the Mechaber. Okay? Now, the Ramah comes along, and the Ramah says, Hadgah v'yesh omrim, de'im efshel lasos below dichoy, u below ichor, that if it is possible to be done without any sort of compromise, without any sort of delay, al yidei shinoi, if it could be done through a shinoi, in other words, if a Jew could do the malacha, but he could do it in an unusual manner. In other words, we have a klal that in order to desecrate one of the 39 malachas, so there are certain rules. In other words, we have 39 malachas of Shabbos that one is not allowed to do. In order that one should be considered that it was Mechal Shabbos Midoraisa, it has to be what's called a Malachas Machsheves. It has to be, the malacha had to be done in a certain manner. And there are 8 basic requirements that go into such an act. And one of them is that the act has to be done in its normal manner. If the act is not done in its normal manner, then that would still be Chilul Shabbos, but the severity of it would be reduced from a Torah prohibition to a rabbinic prohibition. It would not be a Doraisa, it would be a Darabbanan. So for example, if a person had to write something on Shabbos, and let's say the person is right-handed, so if he writes it with his right hand, so he is violating the Malacha of Kosev, right? So that's one of the 39, you're not allowed to write. And he's doing it in the normal manner. However, if he wrote it with his left hand, so that would be a shinoi. That means that I did the malacha in an unusual manner. This is not the way it's typically done, and that would lower it to a drabana. So says the Ramah, that unlike the Mechaber who said that just do it and don't ask any questions, the Ramah said that if it's possible to do in a manner that there will not be a delay with a shinui, then it's better to do it with a shinui. The emef shalasos ayidei eino yehudi below ichur klal. So too, if it could be done through a non-Jew without any delay, osin ayidei eino yehudi. Then it should be done through a non-Jew. V'chein noagin, says the Ramah, that this is the Ashkenazic practice. He says, "Avo b'makom v'yesh lochush yisatzel ein Yehudi." But if there is room to think that a non-Jew is going to delay in his act, then ein lasos al yidei ein Yehudi. Then you don't do it. In other words, what the Ramah is telling us, according to the Mechaber, which presumably would be the Sephardic approach, that you don't ask any questions, just do it yourself and forget it. However, the Ramah says that if it's possible to do it through a non-Jew without delay or with a shinoi, then you should. The reason for this is because there is a big argument amongst the Rishonim when we say that one is allowed to violate Shabbos in order to save a life. There is a question whether Shabbos is hutra etzel pikuach nefesh or hutcha, which means the concept that when it comes to saving a person's life, it's not Shabbos. In other words, for all intents and purposes, it's like today was Monday. I don't have to view it that today is Shabbos, so therefore I could do what I want. Monday I could do what I want, so I could do what I want on Shabbos too. That is called Shabbos hutra keneged pikuach nefesh, that the prohibition of Shabbos has been hutra, has been made mutter. It doesn't exist. However, there are those who say, and that is the opinion of some people, however, there are those who say that Shabbos is hutcha eitzel pikuach nefesh, which means that really, it's obviously, it's still Shabbos, but really the prohibition of Shabbos is there, but the imperative to save a person's life is stronger. So therefore it pushes away Shabbos. meaning that the law of Shabbos is a conflict between the mitzvah of saving a person's life and the prohibition of Shabbos. In such a conflict, the halacha is that saving a life wins out. However, since there's a conflict, so then we would say that the rule of thumb would be that if there's a way to do it, to make everybody happy, that I could have both mitzvahs fulfilled, I will save the person's life, and I will not desecrate Shabbos, then you would have to do it. Again, if you held the first way, which is that the prohibition of Shabbos has been completely removed in this scenario, so then it's like it's not Shabbos at all. So I don't have to give any consideration to doing it any other way, because it's not Shabbos. When it comes to saving a person's life, it's Sunday, it's Monday, it's not Shabbos. But the Ramah is following the opinion of some Rishonim who say that Shabbos is Hudcha, which means that it gets pushed away, but the conflict of mitzvahs is there, and therefore if there's a way to satisfy both requirements, we try to do it. This is what the Ramah says. The Mishnah Brura brings down, if you look, Lamed Zayin at the bottom of the page, he quotes the Ramah said, this is the Minhag, says the Mishnah Brura, quotes from the Taz, that this minhag is not a very authentic minhag. Lav minhag vasikin here. This is not a minhag which is held by all the great people. The af sheyochel lasos al yidein Yehudi. We hold that even if it could be done through a guy, but nevertheless a Jew will generally do it with more zrizus. The Jewish value of life, the halachic view of life, is such that a Jew will act with a greater urgency, and therefore, assuming that's the case, it may not always be, you know, you have to know who you're dealing with, but assume, generally speaking, that is true, and therefore, the Taz says that one could just generally assume that a Jew is better, and you don't have to ask a non-Jew. So what this means is, this is the basis for the Hatzolah that, you know, they have found over all the years that the response time was always faster than in the Hatzolah, response over all the emergency services that were in the cities that Hatzolah was in. And this reflected this view that a Jew will be Mizaris more. However, there is still some validity to what the Ramah says. In other words, the Taz, Mishnah Brura, is telling us that a Jew versus a guy, just take a Jew, don't start looking for guy. You know, but if you're in a situation, there could be situations where it's not a time, every second does not count. In other words, for example, let's say a person needs to call a doctor to find out what to do. It's not a moment-to-moment thing. But he needs to take care of it. It has to be taken care of within the next couple of hours. And in order to take care of it, I need to speak to a doctor, or I need to call into the hospital, or whatever it is. So in a situation like that, the halacha is that if it's possible to minimize it, then it would be better. So the most common thing would be, when it comes to making a phone call on Shabbos, if you're using a landline, so taking the phone off the hook is considered a malacha. It establishes a certain, you know, you get the dial tone, it's the beginning of the call. So what people will say is that it would be better if you could knock the phone off the hook with your elbow in a situation like that, because at least that you minimize. That malacha you minimize. You have to make the phone, you should not make the phone call. But in a situation where I have the ability, it's not going to affect anything. I have time. That time is not, I can't wait till after Shabbos. But it has to be taken care of. But it's not moment to moment. So if it's not moment to moment, so then if it's possible, if there was a guy right there who, if you happen to, let's say a person has a live-in help, you know, and the person is right there and they can make the call for you, they could dial the number for you, it won't cost you anything. It's not gonna compromise anything. So then we would say that it's better to do it in that manner. However, this is limited to situations where you have time. If there is a situation, which very often happens, that there is no time to waste, You don't start looking for Goyim, you don't start looking for Shinuyim, you don't, because the fact is, Moshe Feinstein says this in one of his tshuvas, that a person who starts, his mind is already thinking about halachas, that in itself jeopardizes the situation, because I can't concentrate on the situation at hand. I'm sitting thinking about all the halachic ways to do, you know, he starts with all the pilpulim that go through his mind, so he's diverted from the issue at hand. So therefore, in a situation like that, a person should not, if time is a concern, you don't go for Goyim and you don't go for Shinuyim. It's only in a case where it could be, it's not the chuf to the fullest degree, then we would say that it would be better if a person needed to write something down in a situation like, where again, if it was not a big, big pressure, and a person needed to write something down, let them write it with their other hand. In other words, they'll write it in the, write it to, you know, if you'll be able to read it. In other words, you know, that would be better. But all of these things only in a situation where you have time. Okay, that is the category. This pretty much covers the category of a cholish yesh bo sakana. Now I know we're a little short on time, so the other categories are not as extensive. The second category that we have in halacha, which is today not so clear when it applies and when it doesn't, is what's called sakanas eiver. Sakanas eiver is where you have a situation where a person, his life is not in jeopardy, but one of his limbs might be. So if you don't take care of it, if for example, a person has a broken arm, so he fell on Shabbos and broke his arm. So in that situation, simply stated, his life is not in jeopardy. Now, it could be if there is a concern of an infection. In other words, if you don't take care of it and it's not dealt with in the right way, it could lead to an infection. Then it's considered a sakanas nefashos. But let's say for a moment that was not the case. It was just a fractured something on Shabbos. So then the halacha changes. The halacha is that a Jew cannot do a malacha d'oraisa. A violation of a Torah law, a Jew cannot do. A Jew could only do a malacha through Rabbana. A malacha which is prohibited by the rabbis a Jew could do, but a non-Jew could do a malacha d'oraisa. So therefore, if somebody fell on Shabbos in a situation where there was no concern other than simply the fact that they fractured a bone, and it's hard to know, it's really hard to know when you could isolate the concern, but theoretically, if there was no concern of an infection, and there was no any other, possible repercussion that this could have, so then, in a situation like that, a Jew could not drive that person to the hospital. You would have to get a guy. You'd have to get a guy to do it. Again, assuming that it's only a question of this fracture. Then, if it's only a sakana aver, it's only a sakana of a limb. So then the halacha is that a Jew cannot do a malacha d'oraisa only through Rabbanan. I'm just going to try to go because I'm running late. I'll take the question at the end. Okay, that is the second category. As I say, it's not so common that you, it may be fractures happen often, but to know, you have to know, depending on what happened, you have to really know, how dangerous is this thing? Is it really just the bone? If it's just the bone, then it's just a sakana saver. If there's a concern due to what happened that it may affect something else, then it could be into the higher category. Okay, the third category, which is also very, very common, is what's called a chola she'ein bo sakana. A chola she'ein bo sakana means a person who is sick, but there is no jeopardy to the person's life. But yet the person is sick. And in order to ascertain this level, the Chazal basically gave us two guidelines. The guidelines are either the person has to be nofel l'mishkav, that the person is sick enough that they're bedridden. Bedridden means that they either are in bed or they should be in bed. Sometimes the person who should be in bed everyone's a knocker, and get out and go to shul, but the person really should be in bed. That would be considered one case. And the other case is chola kol gufo. Chol kol gufo means that the person, his whole body feels sick. In other words, it's not a localized thing. It's not like he just has a headache, a mild headache or something like that, but his whole body feels sick. Okay? Examples of this would be, just to take a couple, a person who has the flu. So a person who has the flu is in probably both of those categories, should be in bed. Right? If the person heroically wants to get out of bed to go to the kiddush and shul, so then the person still would be considered a chola. That's still considered nafu mishka. That's still considered nafu mishka, right? But it's also chola kaguf. In other words, though, he feels dreadful. There is a person that his whole body feels dreadful. That would be a person with a migraine headache. Very often would fit into this category, right? I feel horrible. So this is what's called a chola she'ein bo sakana. Now here the halachas are like this. The halachas are, again, everything goes down a step. Now here a Jew, for such a person, cannot do a malacha d'oraisa. A Jew cannot go ahead and drive such a person to even to the doctor on Shabbos. Again, if it was someone older or somebody where there was more complications, it would be different. But assuming a regular person has the flu, a Jew cannot transport that person on Shabbos to a doctor, nor can a Jew turn on the light for such a person or anything like that. However, a goy can. A goy can, a non-Jew can. So you could ask, there's no question, you could ask straight out that a non-Jew should do various things. But when it comes to a Jew cannot do a malacha d'oraisa in such a situation, nor can a Jew do an outright malacha d'rabbanan. However, if a person does, a Jew can do an act, a malacha with a shinur. In other words, here, there are two types of derabbanans. If it was an act that the rabbis outright prohibited, then that a Jew could not do. But if it was a malacha that it might be even a Torah violation, but a Jew will do it with a shinur, then it would be mutter. Then it would be mutter. So, for example, a very common situation where this comes up with a young child, but not limited to a young child. Now, I want to mention that the halacha is that a young child is automatically in this category. Automatically. So therefore, how old is the cutoff is a question amongst the poskim. Some say six, some say a little bit older than that. But generally speaking, a child who is ill automatically goes into this category. So therefore, you could ask the guy to do a malacha for you, or even an adult could ask a guy. So for example, if a person had the flu, and there was a medicine waiting in the pharmacy on Shabbos. So as we said last week, you could ask the non-Jew to get in his car and drive to the pharmacy and pick up the medication and do whatever it takes in order to get this, because everything that he's doing, this is being done by a non-Jew. For this category, you're allowed to do it. But a Yisrael, a Jew could also do it, but he has to do with a shinoi. So a common situation would be if a person has a child who needs some sort of respiratory help, let's say a nebulizer or a humidifier or something that is needed on Shabbos. So if it would happen, let's say in the middle of the day and there was a guy available, so you ask the guy to put it on for you. But what happens? It happens in the middle of the night and the child is wheezing and you have to take care of it. And you can't go get a guy at that hour. So the halacha is that a person would be allowed to turn it on, to turn on the machine with a shinui. In other words, if need be, a better option would be to tell the child to turn it on. In other words, if the kid has enough das, if it's a child that you can speak to, that the child will put on the machine, so that's better. But if not, a Yisrael could do that act with a shinoi. So therefore, if it's a question of turning on a switch, if he has the ability with his elbow to turn on the switch or some other shinoi, so that would be something that a person is allowed to do. This is the category of a chola she'ein bo sakana. A chola she'ein bo sakana is also allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. In other words, all the categories that we said until now, obviously, a person who's a chola she'ein bo sakana, the person whose life is in jeopardy, of course, could take medicine, there's no question. But even such a person can take medicine if a person has the flu or a migraine headache or something like that, that they fit into this category, that either they are bedridden or they feel completely, their whole body is affected. It's not localized. They just feel very, very weak and like we said, you know, the dreadful feeling. Then a person is allowed to take medicine. The final category, which is the least in halacha, would be what's called a mechush ba'alma. A mechush ba'alma means that a person just has pain. In other words, for example, a person has a regular headache, not a migraine headache, a person has a regular headache. So a regular headache could be very annoying, as we all know. But nevertheless, the person with a headache, generally speaking, is not sick. Right? It has a headache, whether it could be didn't sleep enough or whatever it may be. The person has a headache. So for such a thing on Shabbos, the halacha is that a person cannot do any malacha, and you can't even take, this is a halacha that is not so well known to people, that you can't even take medicine for that on Shabbos. In other words, a person with a regular headache could not take an aspirin or an Advil or something like that on Shabbos. If it's just that, if it involves more, then obviously it's different. But if it would just be that, the person has an ache or something, you know, where it's limited to that area, so then that is called a mechush. For that, the only kula that we have really in the halacha is such a case. We have two kulas that a non-Jew could do a malacha to Rabbanan, which may not be very helpful, but a Jew could take a Yisrael would be allowed to take medicine for such a thing on the second day of Yontif. In other words, we have a klal that the second day of Yontif in Chutz La'aretz, the second day of Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, the second day of Yontif has certain leniencies, not many, contrary to what people think, has very few leniencies, but one of them is this halacha, that a person on the second day of Yontif, who let's say has a headache, would be allowed to take medicine. That you could do, but in general, a regular person in such a situation, generally speaking, assuming it's not a migraine headache, a person would not be allowed, you just have to ride it out. Now, I'm just going to end with this, that there is one other category which the case of a pregnant woman in childbirth, a woman in labor, so a woman in labor, generally speaking, fits into the highest level of a chol she'esh bo sakana. However, there are certain situations, the Chazal felt that childbirth could not be viewed in and of itself as a total sakana, because the mitzvah in the Torah to have children, so you can't say that as a mitzvah in the Torah, a person should put themselves into sakana. So it's not viewed quite the same way, so, but pretty much it is. In other words, if it came down to it, a husband could drive his wife to the hospital on Shabbos to have a baby. If they could not, you know, generally they advise people for many reasons that they should try to get an arrangement with a cab or something like that. Sometimes a man in a situation like that could lose his wits a little bit, and unfortunately there have been stories like that where the husband was so panicked that, you know, the wife is saying, it's coming, and the husband panicked. So therefore, it wouldn't be such a bad idea, you know, to have a non-Jew on Shabbos drive that car. But that's only if it's possible. If it's not possible where, you say, well, we just can't wait. We just can't wait. So then in a situation like that, a Jew could go, absolutely, it's considered a chol she'esh bo sakana. But as a general rule, it's not quite, it's not quite viewed to the same degree, so therefore it is encouraged in a situation like that, if a person is expecting a child, that they should try to arrange before Shabbos with a non-Jew to drive them to the hospital. But other than that, everything else is the same. Other than that, in other words, a doctor obviously could do whatever is needed because it's surely a sakana. Once they're in the act of labor, it would be a sakana, etc., etc. But just when it comes to this situation of going to the hospital on Shabbos, this would be the one case where they would actually, where the halacha would be that it would be preferable if you could get a non-Jew to take it. This is just an overview of the halachas. This is not meant to be comprehensive. There are many, many, many shilas that come up. In a sakana is not the time to start asking the shilas. But if a person knows that they have a medical situation or someone in the family has a medical situation, so it's a good idea during the week to one time sit down with a rav to just go through, you know, what do we do, what happens if this happens, what happens if that happens, to know, and thereby a person would be informed. But if it comes down to it, if it's Shabbos and a person did not take care of it or it was unexpected, then if there is any even a suffix that is going to be a pikuach nefesh, even if it's only going to be a pikuach nefesh of chayisha, it's only going to prolong the life of a person who is terminally ill and has a very, very short amount of time left to live. One is allowed to be mechal Shabbos for such a person without any hesitation.